Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about God's guidance. Several people who have listened to our program, Gateway to Joy, have said to me, "What does that mean when you say underneath are the everlasting arms?" I'm glad for the question because there probably are a good many of you out there asking the same one. It's a verse from the Bible, and it's speaking of God's arms. Underneath all that we do, all that we are, underneath this whole world, underneath all of the universe, are the everlasting arms, the arms of the one who made all of it. And it's a wonderful sense of confidence that we can have when we recognize that we are not just sort of floating in empty space, but underneath we are supported by the arms of one who loves us with an everlasting love. And that's a good way to start when we're thinking about the guidance of God. Not very long ago, I looked out of our front window toward the sea. My husband and I live on the coast of Massachusetts, and we have a beautiful view of the Atlantic Ocean. And between our house and the ocean are some very beautiful, rugged rocks, that stern and rock-bound coast that Longfellow writes about. And one day, as I looked down over the tide pool, which is very familiar to me, my eye was caught by something which was not familiar at all. I had never seen it there. In the cleft of one of those big rocks sat a puffin. I could hardly believe my eyes. I don't know very much about birds, but what I do know I owe to my father, who was an amateur ornithologist, who knew a great deal more than most amateurs. And I knew that a puffin doesn't really belong on the Massachusetts coast in the wintertime, but had probably gotten off course somehow and was sheltering there in the cleft of this rock by my tide pool. A puffin is so brightly colored that you would almost think you're looking at a brightly painted wooden toy. It has a sort of a clown face. They really are absolutely adorable. And my mind began to think about, now, how did that puffin get here? How do birds ever get where they belong? We all know about the migration of birds, and they fly incredible distances from one season to another to find the temperature that they want. I looked up the question of birds' navigation in a book that I have, A Guide to Water Birds. And the first thing that they said was that how birds navigate is a matter that has always mystified man. Sometimes these birds have landmarks, but they certainly have no landmarks when they're flying over the sea. And there are those who fly day and night. Naturally, all kinds of theories have been advanced as to how they do it. Sometimes they may be oriented by the sun, sometimes by the stars, but what about those stormy nights when there is neither sun nor stars? Do they have some kind of a geographical clock built into them? Warblers, one of my bird books tells me, seem to have a detailed image of the starry configuration of the sky, coupled with a precise time sense which relates the heavenly canopy to the geography of the earth at every time and season. Imagine that, a detailed image of the starry configuration of the sky, which is matched with a precise time sense, which relates the heavenly canopy, those stars and planets, to the geography of the earth at every time and season. It's confusing enough for me to go out at night and try to find Orion, because Orion, the constellation, is in different places at different times and seasons, isn't it? And yet somehow those tiny little warblers have this amazing computer programming inside, far more complex and incredible than any man-made computer. A skilled mariner, the book said, would gladly swap his sextant, chronometer, astronomical tables, and chart for the ability of the warbler to navigate. Gravity, perhaps, has something to do with it. Magnetic force, force arising from the Earth's rotation. And the long of the short of it is, of course, that we really don't know. The Arctic Tern makes a spectacular journey twice a year, sweeping from its far northern nest site down the Atlantic and the Pacific to the Antarctic, and then back up again, 11,000 miles each way. Can you imagine that? 11,000 miles without a compass, without a chronometer or a sextant or a map. I love the poem To a Waterfowl by William Cullen Bryant. There is a power whose care teaches thy way along the pathless coast, the desert and illimitable air, lone wandering, but not lost. Thou art gone. The abyss of heaven hath swallowed up thy form, yet on my heart deeply hath sunk the lesson thou hast given, and shall not soon depart. He who from zone to zone guides through the boundless sky thy certain flight, in the long way that I must tread alone, will guide my steps aright. And that's the one that I want to talk about to you today. The one who not only guides the Arctic Tern over its 11,000-mile migratory flight from one pole to the other, but the one who also, in the long way that you and I must tread alone, promises to lead our steps aright. I've written a little book about the guidance of God. It's called A Slow and Certain Light. The title is an indication that this is really the way I have found the guidance of God to come. It usually seems kind of slow to me. Do you feel that way sometimes? I guess my timetable doesn't match God's by any means, and I'm an impatient kind of a person, the sort who likes to plan and know exactly what's going to happen and see things happen according to the plan. And so when I pray, Lord, show me what to do, teach me your way, guide me, very often it seems like a slow process before God answers that prayer. But it is a certain process. That's why I've called the book A Slow and Certain Light. Because even though it may seem to be delayed, we can be sure that it is coming, that God does hear and answer our prayers. Who of us isn't often greatly in need of guidance? Am I talking to anybody out there that hasn't felt the need of some guidance beyond his own wisdom? Where are we to find the wisdom for decisions? Well, ever since the beginning of human history, I suppose, there have been sorcerers and magicians and oracles and witch doctors and palmists and astrologers, fortune tellers of one sort or another. And all of those things are now very big business. Horoscopes we find in the daily newspaper. There are professional counseling and guidance services which seem to multiply just almost astronomically year by year. We might even say that we're smarter than we've ever been before. But somehow or other, we don't seem to be any more confident of our ability to make decisions than without all of those things. The atheist and the agnostic sometimes give away the flaws in their atheistic and agnostic logic by showing an interest in flipping coins. If the atheist didn't think there was really anything supernatural, it's hard to see why he could imagine that flipping a coin could possibly make any difference. They show an interest in the stars, sometimes in spiritism. Sources of power, knowledge, and control beyond ourselves. The Bible tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts. there is a sense of mystery, transcendence, a spiritual world, whether we like to admit it or not. But as a Christian, I have no trouble admitting it, no trouble acknowledging the fact that I am just a human being created by God, created for something, and that that God has promised to guide me. He has promised to be my shepherd. In the 28th chapter of Job, we read, "While corn is springing from the earth above, what lies beneath is raked over like a fire, and out of its rocks comes lapis lazuli, dusted with flecks of gold. No bird of prey knows the way there, and the falcon's keen eye cannot descry it. Where then does this wisdom come from? And where is the source of understanding? God understands the way to it. He alone knows its source, for he can see to the ends of the earth, and he surveys everything under heaven." And in the New Testament, in John 7:17, we read, "He that willeth to do his will shall know." It's not a take it or leave it kind of a thing. It's not advice that I as a Christian am looking for, but the will of God, a course which I choose. Once known, it must be done. There's that old hymn that I mention so often, one of my favorites, "Trust and Obey." It's not a matter of if I like what I see, I'll take it. But I trust you, Lord. I really believe you love me. And so I'm going to do what you tell me. I'm going to follow the way that you lead me.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.